Well, good morning.
Good morning.
With the wool and the rest of them to come on in, we're going to start off by singing a favorite, stand up for Jesus. We'll stand up as long as we can. We had to search all over the guy that we normally get it from. He was First time in 60 years he's been out of corn this early. So we found a place, we found 3 dozen ears of corn, so we'll sell it to you for $1.50 a ear. Maybe just a little bit, but it'll be back there, and hopefully it's good, so hopefully you'll enjoy that time together with us there. Maybe Bible study is continuing at Hope Crossing. There's a couple of weeks to where they're out, right?
We're there this week, and then we're out for 2 weeks, and then we'll finish up after that.
Okay, so we'll have that coming up, and that's continuing on for them. What's next? Wednesday night, dinner. This week we're in chapter 2 of the book of Micah. What's our scripture verse for our main scripture? Micah what?
6:8.
And what's it say?
Love.
What else?
Justice.
What else?
Mercy.
Humility. All right. Well, Jonathan's got the love, so we're good with that. But that's Wednesday night. We got our dinner all planned. Yes?
Yes.
Just making sure. Everybody's looking around like, what? Yes, we've got some pastas and some other items planned. So that's Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock in here. Hymn sing Friday, October the 11th at Farmington Hills Church of God. They're going to be doing that. This is their second annual hymn sing. So if you love the hymns and want to be a part of that, that's there that Friday night. So please join them for that. Let's see, what else we got? Hope Crossing. They're coming into their 70th anniversary. And for those of you that don't know, Sanctus Real is going to be there on Sunday night at what, I think 4 o'clock?
4 p.m.
Yeah, they have a concert coming. Now, how in the world they got Sanctus Real, there's a long story behind it, but somebody from Hope Crossing knows someone from Sanctus Real. They're actually going to be... There's a family connection from Hope Crossing with someone in Sanctus Real. So if you want to go, please tell me, because we need to notify Hope Crossing that we're coming. I told them that Beth and I will be there, Linda will be there. There's a Friday night dinner. No, that's Saturday dinner, and then Sunday morning there's a worship, and then there's Sanctus Real at 4 o'clock. So if you want to go, I can't see that you'll be disappointed to hear Sanctus Real at Hope Crossing. So that's there, but please let us know so we can identify to the church. What else is going on? The Fall Conference, that's coming up at Evanswood. I'll be speaking there with a team of people on Saturday. Friday night, I will not be there. That's a youth night. And then Sunday afternoon is the service at 3:30. There's some other things, so please see Beth. There's something else special going on that Sunday. If you haven't gotten it, please see Beth. She'll give you information regarding to the other. So I have a little announcement right here. But please see her. She has all the information regarding that other event. Food pantry in the back. You want to keep up with that and keep the ministry going there. What else do we have going on? Yours truly, I got, during our time of prayer, we want to remember Jonathan's cousin, John. We also want to remember Gary and Jean, Louie and Suzanne, and the multitude of needs that we have. Please remember the Course family. It's spelled K-O-U-R-C-E. And yesterday I had the opportunity to celebrate with the family and the loss of their mom, Mary Margaret. Celebration of life, not... there was some sadness, but a celebration of her life. So keep the Course family in your prayers. Our church, just so everyone knows, furnaces are installed in the back. They're side by side. They look great. I think they're working well. We only have one thermostat now, so that's done. Hopefully we're ready for the fall, and we've gotten that passed. So still looking for those donations if anybody wants to help contribute towards that. But that is complete. I think that's it for the life of the church. We've got a couple of songs coming up that I think you'll know very well. One of them's When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Fly Away, and then leading into our time of prayer is a song that should lead us right there. He touched me. So whether you like to stand or sit, however you're comfortable, we're going to sing together and worship the Lord.
Let the world know.
are so true. God, that we sometimes are shackled by a heavy burden. God, meet the load of guilt and shame, but then the hand of Jesus touched me. God, we live in a time of perilous. God, we don't understand all the events that have taken place. Hurricane Helene, the loss, the devastation, lives on there, multitudes, even the 40s plus, God, that have lost their lives. Father, I truly don't understand those kinds of things, death and sickness. But God, I know that you're a God who knows all things. You know us from the time of our birth until the time of today. Father, you know every step, every hair of our head. You know when the flowers bloom and the sparrow falls to the ground. You know all things, God. And you are God, and we must trust that. And sometimes, God, I must admit that's so difficult, so challenging to understand. We want to be a part of that and understand all things. Yet we're called to have faith. Faith in you, God. So God, I ask today that when we have faced the shackledness of life, and God, you would give us freedom. Father, whatever this weekend brought to us, whatever challenges we face, whatever joys have been with us, Father, we are thankful. We're thankful Wednesday night we got to celebrate with John and his birthday. Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to give thanks for those days of our birth. But what more important, Father, is to know the birth that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that that can be something we celebrate today. Not only our physical birth, but our spiritual birth today. Father, I know that you know all things around us. You know us. You know as we have come today, God, what we bring to you. We ask, God, that you would just touch us in a marvelous way. Father, we pray for this call that has come from Jonathan's cousin, John. Father, we ask that you would put an anointing on him. We know you've touched their family in a wonderful way, and yet we bring this need to you today, asking for your anointing upon his life. We continue to pray, God, for Suzanne and for Louie and for your continued healing in their life. We continue to pray that you'll bless Charlotte as she is at home watching. Father, I pray for the needs of my friends that, God, I continue to lift up. I pray for Pastor Celine in Kenya, God, and the ministry that he has there for the Pentecostal Church in Magoma. Father, I pray that you will bless them today. They faithfully watch each week. Father, we celebrate during the course of the week and talk back and forth. God bless his ministry. What a man of God, Father, continue to use him and pour out and expand his territory. Father, I pray for the Course family as they have celebrated their mom's life. God, that you will bless them. You'll be with them. I pray for Gary and Sister Jean. God, that you'll continue to aid Gary's healing, Father. That you would give him the strength that he needs. Father, step by step, you'll guard him and guide him. Thank you, Father, that we can celebrate your goodness today. That you are with us, Father. I'm grateful, God, for the opportunity to stand for just a few moments. I continue to pray for your healing and your touch upon my ankle and foot. God, I pray that you'll bless us in a time of fellowship today. That, Father, you will be in all of our conversations. God, you know exactly what we need. There might be times, Father, that we don't know what to pray. That we're just empty. You need to fill us, God, in a way that only you can. Because some of that morning, Father, will fly away. But right now, God, we need your presence to fly into our life, to touch us in a wonderful way. We've been grateful, Father, for Sheila being with us over the course of the last 4 weeks. We're thankful, God, for the music that she brings us, the playing, Father, that accentuates your blessing on her life. Continue to put your hand upon her and her family, Father. Bless her, Father, in a mighty way. Father, as we close this time, may only just don't know what to pray, but you taught us and how we should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, may you be blessed by Sheila's song today.
Some of it, but let's be honest,
You try to forget those last 10 years, right? Because they weren't playing very well. You wanted them to move on, and you wanted them to keep pressing on. Sometimes we forget. We want our Red Wings to do just as well. There's hope that the Lions are going to actually press on and make it to the Super Bowl. All things considered, we as a state, let's just call it the way it is, we love our sports, and there are many who love sports in a multitude of languages and degrees. But we're called to keep pressing on. What does that mean for us scripture-wise? One of the things that keeps people from pressing on is their unwillingness to forget the past. Their unwillingness to set aside what may have been there. Maybe it's prosperity, position, possessions. Sometimes maybe it's just forgetting what Christ has called us to do and press on. The Israelites were in an unpleasant place. And we're going to see that as we turn to Numbers. But I want you to remember this thought. Remember, but press on. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 4. And I get to fully stand for the reading of God's Word. So if you will, stand with me. And I'll stand on my own 2 feet today for the reading of God's Word for just a few moments. Numbers chapter 11, beginning at verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If we only had meat to eat." We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this yucky manna. This coriander seed, this dry raisin cake, that's all we get to eat anymore. Is this manna? Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought me this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all of these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? To the land of promise and oath to their ancestors. Where can I get meat for all of these people? They keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders, and officials among you, among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. And the Lord came down to the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of that spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied and did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been with Moses since you, spoke up and said, "Moses, stop them, my Lord." Moses replied, "Why are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. A very interesting story, and no doubt one that would trouble the most of us. Moses was a man of God, a leader for the people of God. Paul, who we spoke of earlier, was a man of prominence. We could assume that they waste no time in comparison for living for Christ. Too many of us have worldly attachments, things that we hold on to. I love doing some house cleaning and looking at stuff. I think, why do I have all of this stuff? And I try to get rid of that stuff, and you know what I do? I go buy more stuff. Because you know what? By the time I got rid of that stuff, I figured I still need that stuff. It's just hard to separate ourselves from stuff. If you're like many of us, you're going to say to yourself, well, that's going to come again. I need that. I still have one of those old brake adjusting tools that I used a number of years ago. And then I can relate to years ago. Because it was the only way you could get the brake run off to move the stop with the brake adjusting tool. Now, why do I still need that? Maybe I'll get an older car. But you know, there's stuff like that that we have that we go through our possessions and wonder, no, I remember how I used that, and I remember how important that was. There's going to come a day someone's going to ask me, and they're going to need that tool, and I'm going to give it to them. You know, sometimes it's that way in our Christian life. Not only with things, but challenges in our life. Maybe somebody's offended you. And you say, I can't forget that. I keep remembering every time I see that person what they've done to me. I get stuck in the difficulty. And one of the coaching and counseling that I have the opportunity to at times is I try to help others forget the past. That's so challenging. If there's been an offense or problems or something unnecessary in our life, you know, one of the things that we learn is that we have to forgive that person whether we like it or not. Because if we don't forgive that person or that situation, we carry that with us. Life's injuries, it holds us captive. Forgetting is often a prerequisite of going forward. The Apostle Paul echoes the word, one thing I do, he says, don't miss the truth in that. I press forward. In looking back, though, you know what it does? It offers us the possibility that, you know, someday I might go back there. I met with the family on Saturday for the funeral. They began to tell me about their hometown, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Well, I know Fayetteville because 40-plus years ago, or wherever, however long it was, I graduated from high school in North Carolina, 33 miles from Fayetteville. I remember it. I remember the town, and I could take you today and get on the road and drive you without a single nap. I know the way like it was the back of my hand. But you know, if we forget, it offers us the possibility in remembering that we might go back. We also want to be careful that we don't fall on the graces of God. Yet, what bears more to you today? I want to ask you, what bears more, your memory or the present reality? Remember, they're out in the wilderness. The children of Israel are in a place. They want to go to the promised land. God has led them. But they keep saying, you know, I want that fish. I remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic. You know, we're coming to a time pretty soon to where the gardens are pretty much done. You want a fresh tomato? You're going to have to get a hothouse tomato. You want a cucumber? You're going to have to buy it that's come from somewhere else. The normal Michigan produce that we enjoy will soon be gone. And we'll be like, oh, I wish I had that fresh tomato that I could have gotten, some of that garlic and the leeks. We want our memory. But yet here, nothing bears in their memory except this yucky coriander manna. They complain. They're vulnerable. It smacks rebellion in their life. God will respond to their complaint. For many of us, losing our memory is a difficult path. There's nothing worse than watching a loved one succumb to dementia, Alzheimer's, another kind of disease that steals your memory. A loved one you've known who forgets who you are. The pain of walking into a room, of a loved one who you care so much for that doesn't even know who you are. The pain of watching life take its toll on someone we care so much leaves us with the desire to go backwards and says, I wish I could go back again. There's so much that I want to say, so much I want to do, so much I want to tell them. But yet, like the Israelite, it forces their mind. You know this idea of present memory versus the present reality? Forgetting is a passage that says we no longer care for it. We neglect it. Refocus, refusing to focus on it. Do you know our mind stores millions of pieces of information gained in our senses from birth? Paul is advising not memory, right? He's telling us to focus on the present and the future. Because there are some things that we cannot change. If we live in the past, we'll stay in the past. I cannot go back and write this song over again. I can only start today and make a brand new ending. The author knew that. That's the most important fact for us, is remembering. But whether our present victory reminds us or we do a replay. I love the sports now. They can do that replay and go back and tell you if it's good or bad, or was the person safe, or were they out, was it a touchdown or not. What did we do years ago? They made the call and the call stuck. Now we have to go back and wait minutes, if not time, to have Toronto or Seattle or wherever sit down and make a judgment call. Paul tells us, just like the Israelites, to forget everything. They don't want to do that. They left Egypt, they arrived here, and now they're rebellious. We want it our way. Boy, if I'd ever heard that. The wilderness setting presents a problem and possibilities for shaping a community's identity. The period of wandering was necessary to buffer that liberation from Egypt and for the sake of forming an identity. It's not easy for them, but what is more important is the present reality says to them, we don't have enough food. I don't have water. There's no meat to eat. I'm forcing them to relive the past. I must admit, there are times in my life where I think about what it would be like to be 18 again. To have long hair, to be stronger, to wear some of those old fashions that I used to wear. The bell-bottom pants, the tie-dye shirts. To do some of the things that I used to do. Go skiing, climbing, hiking. Well, that's not going to be easy right now. The present reality forces me to think about that. Well, there's more. My present reality or remembering? What would bear more in the consideration of Jesus on the cross when he said it is finished? Should he go back and relive it over again? Or was his words really true that it is finished? Well, for us, I think we struggle with our memory and where we're at presently in the Lord. But is it true? The impossible becomes possible? Moses is faced with a contention of people. And let's be careful. This isn't the whole Israelites. What we get from the scripture here is that Moses is facing a little bit of a rabble-rousing crowd. Moses isn't facing the whole children of Israel that are complaining about their manna. He has a small group of individuals. And don't you get that today? That you have one little voice that is louder than all the rest? You have that one voice that says, no, you can't do that. And you go, well, why not? Well, because I... And then you get all these other voices that come along with you. This isn't the whole congregation. This isn't everyone. Well, you can't do that. We've never done it that way. You can't do it that way. Well, why not? Sometimes one voice carries a lot of weight. But the rabble here, that little contentious group, they were hangry. They weren't just hungry, they were hangry. They want some meat to eat. I know that when you get hangry, you get a headache, you want some food. When I'm in the back cooking today or someone's helping me, you're going to be like, what's taking so long? I want my hamburger. And then if I cook it for Judy, it's only once over on each side, just lightly enough to brown it, and it's done. Judy's is easy, but the rest of us want to be a Willy Wonka. That way, in the chocolate factory, we want it my way. You cook my hamburger too, done. I don't eat hot dogs. The corn's good, but it could have been a little bit better. Am I with you, folks? It's like sometimes, here's the food. Go fix it. Go buy it. Go do it. I'm all ears. I'm all game for you. Here's what you got. You got two choices. Take it or leave it. They're hangry. They're like, we want the chocolate factory. They want it their way. By verse 10, Moses has had enough. Is it really possible with God? We've said that before. All things are possible with God. We say it almost like we believe it. We must trust God is able to do all things, and yet the very part of us are standing back going, okay, prove it, God. There are times we say, I believe God, all things are possible, but I want you first to prove it. And Moses goes, where in the world am I going to get enough meat to feed all of these people? Now you crossed the Red Sea, you brought me to this place, I gave you water out of the rock, I gave you manna to eat, or this little coriander seed, but now we want meat. Moses is thinking to himself, I should probably just run and die. The disciples argue for individual responsibility when they talk about feeding the hunger in the Sermon on the Mount. You heard the story of the disciples. They said to them, oh, go find your own food. I'm not going to go get food to feed 5,000 people. Are you out of your mind? Maybe that's my old terminology. But I can imagine them thinking, Jesus, I know you're Jesus, but where do you think I'm going to get food for 5,000 people right now? See, we, our Christian reality says, this is all I got. I remember a story one time I sat with my children. It was a time when we were struggling financially. Didn't have a lot of money. Didn't have a lot of food. And when we did have food, you know, I was collecting bottles or doing whatever I can to make ends meet. We sat down with three children, the wife and I, at a table. And as always, we prayed. My present reality said I don't have enough. My kids' present faith said, Dad, don't worry about it. You see, sometimes our present reality, we think of the impossibility when they think of God's possibility. And I remember praying, still think about it to the day, and still gets me a little bit. But I remember them piping up and saying, don't worry about it, Dad. God will provide. You see, our present reality doesn't speak the faith of what we trust. And even though I know God, and I know God is able to do all things, we want sometimes the tangible evidence, right? When a little child looks at it and says, I'm not worried about it. God's bigger than my present need. And here, Moses is going, okay, but where will we get a month's worth of food? Where am I going to get enough food to feed hundreds, if not thousands, of people? God responds with a rhetorical question. Is there anything too big for God? See, we have on the back, we used to have it back there, I don't know if it's still there, it says, the impossibility becomes possible with God. I can guess in this section, foot after foot, note after note, that Moses is thinking, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And if we look into the scriptures a little bit further, did you see what God did? He didn't just bring a little bit of food. The Israelites collected 30-some bushel baskets of meat from the quail that landed there. Now we're not talking just a few pieces of quail. I don't know where God got all the birds from. But they literally had more than enough. In a walking distance, there was more quail than they could have ever imagined. According to the text, said each family spent days gathering 30-some bushel baskets of quail. That's a lot of birds. That's a lot of meat in one setting. It's a reminder that when we consider all things, what we call impossible becomes possible with God. What we also notice is that through this possible God, Moses is given an advocate with the Father. Moses and God finally have their speech all worked out, their concerns all worked out, and God said, you know what, Moses, I remember back when then Jethro told you, get someone else to help you. You can't carry all this load by yourself. Notice what God does. He provides an advocate. You are an advocate with the Father. God has entrusted to you the ability to intercede through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as in that day, God entrusted in you the power of the Holy Spirit that together, as a body of Christ, we have an advocate with the Father. When I am lacking, notice in the story, when Moses, and they were facing the army, they lifted up his arm. When Moses couldn't keep his arms up, two people stood beside him. Those were the advocate. It is like the Holy Spirit, the prayer plea that attaches himself to them, that lifts us up. God has provided you and I today, in our present reality, an advocate through Jesus Christ, that he guides us, guards us, walk with us. And hear this story. What a wonderful blessing. Moses gathers 70 of the elders. They sit down together. And God begins to pull part of the Spirit from Moses and puts it on the people of God. Wow. Moses must have had a good spirit. I wonder if Moses even sensed that pulling of the Holy Spirit from his life to bless the other. And he did it in such a fashion, it almost reminds us of the blessings of Acts chapter 2, where God began to gather the people together and he began to pour out his Spirit on them. Well, you say, well, the Holy Spirit's not present in the Old Testament. Yes, it is. And here we have a perfect example of the advocate that the Father has given to us. And here Moses gathers with them and they begin to prophesy and the Spirit begins to rest on them. Wow, what a meeting that must have been. What a time it must have been that God began to pour out. And then Eldad and Medad, prophecy in the camp. Joshua goes, can't you stop them? And Moses goes, wait a minute. Why would I stop them? I wish that all of us would be prophets. See, the present reality hinders what God is able to do for us. We remember, we see where we're at, but we have trouble looking forward. Well, not only do we have an advocate, but this story tells us to press on. God works through all ways. If you read this story, it's a very interesting narrative of Moses and the children of Israel. It's very interesting about where they're at. And you know the shame? This repeats itself over and over in the scriptures. We see this time and time again, where they'll get past this one section, they'll be ready for the next, and they'll face another difficulty. Their present reality continues to shape what they believe. Moses tells them in the closing verses, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put a spirit on them. We want to remember. But I challenge you today. Do you want to press on? Do you want to press on to the high calling of God in your life? Do you want to move forward? Do you remember that God is making streams in the wilderness, rivers in the wasteland? Do you want to know that Joshua tells the people to keep pressing on? When we look at Micah, God keeps telling them, keep pressing on. God keeps pushing the people to come closer and draw near to him. He wants you and I to continue to press on. To press on to the high calling of God. To recognize what God is able and still doing in the life of the church. To press onward means that I don't have to forget. I can remember, but I can use that as a stepping stone towards what the future can do for us. This songwriter, Charles Naylor wrote this song a long time ago, based on 2 Timothy, about pressing on. This song, in closing, tells us that we can fight, need to press on until the crown is won. I need to fight the fight of faith until life on earth is done. I'll never turn back. Defeat I shall not know, because for God will give me victory if onward I will go. The songwriter says, I'm going on. What are you going to do today? Are you going to keep going on? Are you going to relive the past? Are you going to want to go backwards? Or are you going to want to keep pressing on? Will your memory say, we fought a good fight, we finished the race, we're going to keep pressing on, because the crown of victory is in store for you and I. This wonderful narrative tells us we want to remember, but we want to press on. Let's sing together this song in closing, hymn number 685, I'm Going On. Holy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.